Dates and Mates with your host, Damona Hoffman.
Hello, lovers. It's me, Damona Hoffman, and we are here to talk to you about love in the modern world. I'm sitting here in studio with my co-host, Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app. Hey there.
Hey, co-host.
I'm really excited for today's show. And I know you're going to be very excited because there's a new initiative popping over on Bustle.com, Appless April. And I know you go through a lot of the Appless stints. Obviously, you're on an app, very Appless stint now that you divulged you have a new girlfriend. But I think if you were not in a relationship, you seem like the kind of guy who would do an Appless April situation.
Indeed. I think it's passed a little bit. I'm a little bit of contrarian, but I can't wait to talk Appless.
All right. Well, we'll have Michelle Toglia from Bustle.com joining us to talk about Appless April in just a minute. And we have a really fun dish for you. We'll be talking about why millennials are leaning towards traditional marriage roles. I'm sorry. I almost threw up in my mouth. That was what...
Tell us how you really feel.
What you heard, the choke. And also we'll be talking about some surprising stats on Canadian cohabitation. And we'll share why sex leads to oversharing. So, producer Thomas, are you ready to dish?
Ready as I'll ever be.
D's dating dish.
Young millennials want traditional marriage roles, according to Brit.co. There was a study by the University of Maryland, and it turns out that the young millennials, younger than producer Thomas.
I thought we established I'm Gen Y.
Well, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
It's tomato, tomato.
He's
millennials,
like a hybrid.
Gen Y.
Oh, there.
Yeah, you're a hybrid, but the young folks, the real young folks, said that they thought it was a benefit to have traditional gender roles, speaking of men going to the workplace and women working inside the home. Yeah, you can't just say, you can't say you don't work. You're working inside the home. You know this, obviously.
CEO of laundry?
That is so pejorative.
What do you mean? What if it's a guy that's the
CEO of
dishwashing?
Of making the home. Well, actually, that in our generation, that is how I'm seeing a lot of what I call equality marriages, a lot of partnerships where the men are either staying at home with the kids or they are equal participants in the household. So here's the confusing thing about millennials that the millennials that they surveyed, they said they believe in women having equality in the workplace and they want women to be getting equal pay, obviously, but they also are in favor of them being the leaders at home. And I would say to that, then you just want ladies to be real tired. I don't think that's fair. You can't have traditional gender roles and then also be getting ahead in the workplace. It's just not realistic. And this was what was happening with the first wave of feminism. And, you know, a lot of women were working outside the home, but then the expectation is still you work your 40-hour work week, but you better have dinner on the table at 6 o'clock when the man comes home. And I think this put a lot of pressure on the previous generation of women. And then we got smart about it. And we were like, oh, no. You got to do your own laundry. We can't be doing your laundry and adding to your bottom line so that we can have this big, beautiful home together. You got to pull your weight, guys. So this is like a very confusing study. The millennials want to have their cake and eat it, too.
Well, I think that is the common thread with us millennials. We want it all. But I think they're not saying we need to go back to the 1940s, 1950s traditional Archie Bunker style household where it's like, oh, honey, good job with the ironing of those shirts today kind of stuff. But the division of labor is a very natural thing. And I think in the workplace with two competent, equally qualified individuals, they should get paid the same. Yes. But there's a huge difference between men and women, a huge difference that does make this, give it some validity.
Go on.
I don't think I've ever seen these eyes from you. It's a very clear difference that you're going to be like, well, duh, you can have babies and we cannot. And we also can't breastfeed. So even for the small period that it may be or long period that it may be of 6 months, 6 years that the woman is taking care of the babies and the young children. If the man is working, it's a division of labor. If I'm working all day and you're at home all day, is that the worst thing in the world?
Whoa, 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 wait. I'm working all day and I'm pumping through lunch and all of my meetings so that I can provide milk to your baby. And then I come home and I have to also be responsible for feeding you. I just fed a baby all day.
Well, I think you are. I think it's a pretty big split in women that, stay home and women that they go back to work immediately after having a baby. If you go back to work immediately, then yes, you should be sharing everything. I should be making sandwiches. I should also be the CEO of laundry and helping with the dishwasher. But if you're staying home and I'm working, we're a marriage. We're a couple. Shouldn't we have some division of labor? Where if you're home all day, is it the worst thing in the world to ask you to do some laundry or do the dishes because you're there all day and I'm working 10, 12 hours? Is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it's a bad thing.
For the women that aren't working.
I think also people don't understand how hard that is. If you are, you're not just staying home all day. You're staying home taking care of a child. And some children make it really easy for you then to also cook and clean and do the other things. And some kids, like mine, need like full on attention. And then you get tired at nap time, so you want to take a nap too.
Well, and not all of us have a maid cooking our food and doing our laundry.
Well,
and
I don't either. So,
oh, you don't?
No.
I'm confused.
I do not know. I do not have a maid.
So, okay.
What is this, 1956? My God.
Can we agree that if both in the marriage are working, that they're sharing the income load, then both of them can share the home duties. But if one of them, I don't actually care who it is, if one of them is staying home and not working at 9 to 5 or working their butt off, then they should probably be working a little bit at the house, on the house chores. Is that fair?
Fine, fair. I agree. And as we're talking about houses and splitting the responsibilities here, there was a very interesting article that popped up on Yahoo Canada that said, marriage among Canadian couples is no longer a requirement for cohabitation. And you may have thought that that was the case here in the States as well, but Canadians were actually more likely than Americans to purchase or rent a home together rather than moving into one another's existing space. And I'm really excited about this topic. And you know what they say, you know, how goes Canada goes the rest of the world, right?
Did you just make that up?
I did. But
it sounded made up. I'm not going to lie.
Thank you for believing in me. But this is something that I deal with a lot. And on my new show, A Question of Love, which they actually just talked about it.
When is that airing, by the way?
I will let you know when I can let you know, okay?
I was trying to give you a plug. I was trying to
thank you. No,
do you a
We don't have
mitzvah.
Air dates yet. But that show is about moving couples in together and having them really confront their issues in a very intense way for 30 days to see if this relationship is going to work or not. So I always find that people think that moving in together is going to fix your issues, but it's only going to intensify and illuminate your issues and make it much harder for you to end that relationship if you find that it's not going to work out. So I don't know why Canadians are so quick to shack up, but it's something that's happening.
Well, I never met a Canuck I didn't like. They're an affable, jovial, likable bunch. But and I kind of like this concept. Maybe it is something that we can switch our paradigm or shift our paradigm with, where we do kind of move in a little bit faster. Especially if you are smitten and you're in love, why not just share the bills?
How fast is too fast, do you think?
Man, you stole my line. I was about to ask you. I think they were saying in this article, it was about 8 months they were starting to move in. I think it probably a third
within 6 months.
I think that's a little bit too soon. I think probably 10 to 12 months is about as early as you ought to go before you move in.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think 6 months is very quick too. I have had clients, actually I had a client that just got married last month who, within 6 months, I think she was moving in And then within about 8 months, no, it was much faster than that. They were moved in together within 4 months. They were engaged within about 6 months. And then they were married about 4 months later. So on the 1 year anniversary of them meeting, they were getting married.
That seems excessive.
That's fast. But you have to consider other factors. You know, if these are late millennials or early Gen Xers, they might.
You keep trying to squeeze your way into the millennial generation, don't you?
I told you I'm millennial adjacent. As we're talking about studies, one thing that people always love to study, of course, is sex. And so there was an article in Forbes, of all places, on the science behind why you overshare after sex. And I thought this was really interesting to see how certain images and certain experiences can prime you to feel a little bit more like bonded and uninhibited with your partner. So they did this study. You guys have to read this article because I can't even fully do justice to it. But they were showing different images to people in this group. And then they showed a control group, fish in their natural habitats. And said, yes, not all people find fish to be very sexy. But then they engaged in instant messaging with a stranger of the opposite sex. And it affected how attractive they thought that stranger was. And this is why I'm always saying to let the connection build and like don't rush into sex in the beginning, because you do say too much. You do expose too much of yourself too early on if you accelerate too quickly sexually, I think.
It's funny. Just seeing sexual activities made people overshare. But do you know that after sex is the time when more neurons in your brain are firing than any other time? So it makes sense. That's also why pillow talk is so damn good. Those combos
are so good. I know you like the pillow talk and the cuddling. Well, don't share too much, because we want you to be ready for Appless April. So we're going to tell you how to survive finding love offline and not sharing too much, not moving too quick, not cohabitating before you're ready. And Bustle.com relationships editor Michelle Toglia will be with us to talk about Appless April in just a minute. So stick around. I'm your host, Damona Hoffman, here with Ray Christian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-610-9070. That's 800-610-9070. At 800-610-9070.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. It's me, Damona Hoffman, here with Ray Christian, the CEO of the Textbird app. You know, as an online dating success story myself, 10 years married, I am a big fan of online dating. However, the apps have sort of changed the dating game. And that's why I have brought back to you, by popular demand, Michelle Toglia. She is the sex and relationships editor at Bustle.com. And she is leading a new initiative called Appless April, where people are encouraged to delete their dating apps for the month, but still find love. Only this time, IRL. Please give big smooches to Michelle Toglia.
Hi, everyone.
What's up?
Hi, Michelle. Welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back. Thank you for having me.
So this is the second year that you've done this Appless April. Is that right?
Yeah, this is the second year. We started it last year. It was a smaller initiative last year, just sort of inspired by my own dating app struggles and online dating fatigue. And I encouraged some other coworkers to do it with me. And then this year it just became a bigger thing. And we have almost 20 Bustle staffers involved. We have experts involved. And so we're just kind of blowing this up this year.
What do you think, Michelle, is the biggest dating app frustration for millennials today?
I think people that use dating apps, they don't, they think that other people don't take it seriously. And I think that there's sort of this, you know, people have become so used to screenshotting conversations and screenshotting funny profiles and weird bios. And I think that we've sort of lost, you know, humanizing people on them. So I think that the gamification of it has sort of like exploded. And I think that it's hard, even if you are looking for something serious, it's hard to look for something serious on dating apps. And I think that we have a lot of expectations with them, you know, just like any other app that's, you know, bettering your life, you know, you have certain expectations for those things. And when you're not, you know, getting a lot of matches or not getting responses back, you start to feel bad, you know, and you end up using it to validate yourself. And I think that, you know, I think a lot of millennials are feeling burnt out by that and feeling fatigued.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I've been in the online dating space for a long time. And I definitely have seen the dating app burnout. And it was always a thing. But I think now the speed of communications has increased. And right. So the number of interactions that you have has increased, and then the amount of disappointment, of course, increases too. So I have always been a believer in taking a break, which really surprised some of my clients sometimes when I say, well, if you're burnt out, like, just stop. And they're like, what? You're like an online dating guru, and this is how you met your husband. And how can you just tell me to stop? Because when you're in the wrong headspace, when you're feeling burnout about it, you're not bringing the right kind of energy into a date. So what did you learn last year from taking a break yourself, from doing this on your own? Did you come away learning something more about yourself or about how you were, you know, in the dating process when dating apps were not a factor for you?
Yeah, well, so the interesting thing is that I would also inspired the campaign was I had never really dated without dating apps before. You know, I became single in 2013, and that's when Tinder came out, and then Hinge and Coffee Meets Bagel. And the only way I knew how to date was through dating apps. So that was also kind of frightening to me. So I was like, you know what, I should really try dating offline.
Was it as scary as you thought it would be?
You know, it wasn't scary, but it's hard. It is really hard. And it's hard. It's also hard because my learned behavior was to use apps. And so I think I had to retrain myself. So one thing that, you know, we're doing this year is we gave out an action plan of like, okay, so you delete your dating apps. Now what? Because last year, you know, a bunch of us deleted our apps and we're like, okay, so where do we meet people? How? Where do you go? What do you say? So this year we sort of gave all these actions to help people, you know, just change their dating behavior, try new things, take risks. You know, I think last year I learned one, that it was hard to meet people in real life when you don't change your behaviors. And then two, I think I realized that I actually really liked being single. And I think that dating apps, you know, being so used to them and, you know, letting them affect me, they made me feel bad about being single, and I let them make me feel bad about being single. You know, when I wasn't getting messages back or people weren't responding, you know, I was like, oh, you know, I'm not doing well at dating right now. And I don't think that's the right way to approach it. You know, I think dating apps are great ways to meet people, and I've met a lot of people on them. But I also think that you have to have a different attitude about them. And they're almost a supplement to meeting people in real life. And so I think those were two really big things that I took away from it. And also another one was I realized that I don't like dating apps that have endless options. I realized that was overwhelming me, because then when I went back on them in May, I was so overwhelmed by apps like Bumble and Tinder, because there was just endless options. And I realized that, you know, I'm better off with ones that have like a set amount of matches, so I can just focus on that. Mm-hmm.
So Michelle, this is Ray here. I love this concept, because I'm also a big believer in like keeping clean headspace. And I think apps, these dating apps, can really just muddle up your headspace, and they're time consuming. My question to you is, why do you think these app connections, so the people you meet through apps, can be so weak at times, leading to like more ghosting and more people getting stood up. What is it about the apps that kind of engenders that?
You know, I think that it's because they're on our phone and they've become such a learned behavior. You know, like you when I wake up in the morning, for example, I would check my email, check Instagram, check my dating apps, and it almost becomes, you know, it gives a little bit less value to it. And so it's sort of, you know, you're using it when you're distracted and, you know, you might be checking your dating app when you're commuting on the subway, for example, and you're like, oh, well, I'll answer that later. And then, you know, you never get around to it. Or you open up your app and you have like 10 notifications and it's like, it's overwhelming. And so you just don't answer any of them. You know, I've even found myself on them. You know, if I get a message and I'm distracted, or, you know, I really should be doing something else and I'm using it for procrastination, for example, like I might not answer at that point and save it for another time. And then you're like, oh, you know, it's a little bit too late to answer.
See,
like,
that's why I always tell people to follow up if they really want to make a connection happen, because I think people just get overwhelmed, like you said, and you mm-hmm. can get lost in the shuffle. And it doesn't mean that the person didn't like you. And you said earlier, like sometimes people take that personally, like when you don't get a response, or you thought you were texting with someone and they didn't respond, then that hurts your self-esteem, and that shouldn't be how it happens.
Right, exactly. And it's almost like how conversations are, you know, through text. You'll be getting a text message when you're doing a million other things. So maybe you don't answer in a thoughtful way where, you know, that other person is paying attention to their phone and trying to have a conversation, and, you know, you're running around and doing a million things. And, you know, because it's through text, you can't necessarily tell, you know, the tone of voice and the intention and all of that. So I think that definitely plays into it too.
All right, Michelle, I'm going to put you on the spot. The next 5 years of dating, you can have a world with no dating apps, or you have to totally rely on dating apps.
Oh, man.
Which one you got?
That's really tough, because dating apps, I will say, you know, I was thinking about my last year of dating, and all but two of my last dates last year were through dating apps. So I think that I would be sacrificing a lot of dates. But you know what? I'm going to say a world without dating apps. in the spirit of Apple's April and trying to make real life connections, I'm going to say without dating apps.
I'm with you on that. I think you need to do a little more IRL, clearly, if only two of your dates last year were from non-dating apps. But I'm with you. I think if you had to choose one, I choose IRL or a day.
Okay, so since you were doing the IRL last April, since you're doing it right now, and I'm sharing in my article for Bustle this month, 6 unique ways to meet singles offline, what is your favorite way to meet somebody IRL?
Okay, so I do this thing with my friends. It started off at a birthday party, a birthday party in my apartment, and I emailed my friends and I said, I want everyone to bring someone that nobody else knows. You know, it could be anyone. It could be a coworker. It could be a neighbor. It could be someone you just met. Actually, two of my friends brought someone that they just met at a bar that night. This guy was visiting from London, and they were like, hey, come to a party. And so my apartment was filled with people that didn't know each other. And it was so much fun, and it was such a great way to meet people, especially in, you know, I've lived in New York for 7 years. And so I feel like sometimes I know all my friends' friends, and I know all their coworkers and their college friends and all of that. So I thought that, you know, this was an easy way to just bring new people together in, you know, a party environment.
And at the end of the night, was all of your jewelry still in in its place? Okay. But I think there's a lot of fear now in dating that didn't used to be there. And a lot of times people say to me, well, I'm scared to date offline. I'm scared to meet strangers, because they think, well, I don't know that person. And now in a world where you can Google anybody and anything, there's this feeling of a stranger coming into your space or meeting a stranger out might be putting yourself in the way of danger.
I think you're totally right. And I think, you know, especially with certain apps, some apps even reveal someone's last name. So you can find them in a second, and you can also see, you know, your mutual friends. And, you know, even if you don't ask your mutual friend anything about them, you feel like they're a little bit vouched for. So I think that, there's definitely like a safety net there Which is odd because I think online dating used to be seen as a dangerous thing. But now, you know, with all the information out there and everyone's Instagrams integrated into their profiles and that sort of thing, there's definitely a safety net. And then you also, it's also a way to know that people are single. I think that I realized last year, a big fear of mine, you know, when I'm out at a bar, for example, and trying to meet people is I don't know who's single at the bar. I don't want to, you know, go up to someone and start talking to them and, you know, then realize that they're married or have a girlfriend, you know. And I think with dating apps, they're, you know, for the most part, everyone on there is single. But
I never worried about that, but that got me into trouble a couple times.
Welcome to the world of being a guy. You have no idea. You just got to go in.
But I like that Michelle said that she would talk to people at a bar. I'm all for like female empowerment and women taking initiative.
You know, I have a theory that this concept that dating apps actually make it faster and easier to get dates is fool's gold. Because, yes, it's like one swipe, hypothetically, then you're talking to someone, and then you can get a date. It just doesn't really work like that. I think even Tinder came out, and they said that 99% of their matches don't end up in a date. That means you have to swipe a ton, and then even all the people you match with, 1% of them you're going to actually get a date. It seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, it is. It's totally time consuming. I think even Hinge had a survey that 1 in 500 swipes equaled a number exchanged. It's like, that's a lot of work.
Jesus. 1 in 500.
It's a lot of work, but when it works out, it's so good. Exactly. But I found when I was online dating that the online dating experience really primed me for being better in person because it just ramped up my dating experiences. And so I think if there's anything that we can take from the experience we had before Apples April, just knowing how to still connect with people on a date, like that's really where the magic happens. So I'm glad that you're doing Apples April, and I know you're very busy, so I'll let you get back to Apples April. But if there's any final parting words for the people that may be a little nervous about dating offline and going app free and appless this April, what would you tell those people that are still on the fence?
I would tell them that it's also a great opportunity to, you know, sort of take inventory of your dating life and think about, you know, take a step back and think about what you're really looking for and what you want and also what you're attracting. I think that was something I really took away from it last year. And know that, you know, that meeting people offline is great, and online dating is great as well. And this isn't, you know, meant to say dating apps are bad or they don't work, that it's just really, really time to take a break, reevaluate it, and maybe change your behavior when you do go back on in May.
Well, that's great advice. I'm inspired, even though you won't see me on the apps in May. I'm really glad that you're doing this and that you are encouraging people to get clearer on who they are, what they want in a relationship, and find other ways. Online dating isn't everything. Dating apps are not everything. And you have to continue to keep the other tools in your dating toolbox sharp. So thank you so much for joining us, Michelle Toglia of Bustle.com. Make sure that you follow all of Apples April. There's so much great content that will be on Bustle.com. You can follow Michelle on Twitter at Michelle Toglia. That's T-O-G-L-I-A. And you can follow our friends at Bustle at Bustle as well. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you.
So we have more dates and mates still coming after this break. We will be tackling your dating questions in Technically Dating. So stick around. I'm Damona Hoffman here with Ray Christian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-900-8195 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 800-900-8195 to take your call now. Call 800-900-8195. That's 800-900-8195. Again, 800-900-8195.
Welcome back to Dates and Mates. We talked to you about Appless April, but now we want to talk to you about what is happening in your dating life right now. And so, Ray, being the CEO of the TechSpert app, you dive deep. Did you dive deep again for us this week?
We did. Let's rock some technically dating.
Technically dating.
We got a question from a young lady, and I don't know how old she is, but she's from the ATL. She says, so we've been dating for about 3 months, just had sex Saturday, in parentheses, not the first time. He kissed me goodbye when he left my apartment and told me he'd tell me when he got home. He did tell me when he got home, and he went to church. But later that night, I asked him, what are you doing? And he never responded. It's Tuesday, and I still haven't heard from him. Should I ask him if he wants to stop talking, and how?
So, Ray, it's this age-old question of, when I do not get a response, what does that mean?
Is this the rejection is God's protection?
Yeah. So I don't even know that you need to ask him if he wants to stop talking. If he stopped talking, he wants to stop talking, right? So, I mean, just because you've been dating 3 months and just because you've had sex, like, I think sometimes women think that they have earned a certain status, or they, you know, they get certain privileges just based on time. But if you don't have any conversation about exclusivity, you cannot assume that for those 3 months you were also the only woman that he was dating.
Okay, but
I know
that's
a little bit of a leap.
That doesn't mean she should get ghosted. This is a hard ghosting. 3 months of dating and he just dips, he just poof out. This is like what gives ghosting a bad name. Not all ghosting is bad. After one date, just ghost them. We've talked about that. But this is pretty bad. However, I will say, with technology today, we rely on texts and Facebook Messenger and all this other stuff going through. There is that 0.51% chance, whatever it is, that they don't go through sometimes. So, especially in the first few dates, like if I call a girl, I'm going to text her and she doesn't pick up. I'm going to text her right after, like saying, hey, that was me. Because sometimes the call just doesn't register in their phone. And then I'm going to be all butt hurt because she didn't respond my call when really she never got it. So technology can get in the way. I would say in this case, bad sign. Maybe he's sick. Maybe he got hit by a car. Maybe something bad happened. So before you start jumping to conclusions and saying, hey, do you want to stop talking? Boo. Just say, hey, what's up? How are you doing?
And so see doom if and gloom. You're so doom and gloom there.
What do you mean?
Maybe he got hit by a car, you know. Check his Snapchat. He's like, here
that,
I am.
That There's, too.
Look at that truck that hit me.
If he's doing work on the gram or on Snap, then yeah, he's just giving you the hard ghost and screw that guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, it sucks when the ghost happens, but you can't make... This is the problem, right? Nobody's talking about what's going on anymore in relationships. And then we're just like, oh, well, you know, we'll figure it out, or we haven't had the talk, but he kind of knows. You need to be clear on what's happening in the relationship by the 3 month point. So the fact that he would be okay not speaking to her for 3 days, like, forget the fact that maybe his call didn't go through. He didn't initiate a call to her. He did not send her a text. That's a little low T, as you would say.
What, that he didn't text her?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you are in a relationship, as she believes she is, if you're in a relationship with someone after 3 months and 3 days go by and you haven't said anything to them, I mean, isn't that a little suspicious?
It's questionable.
It's questionable.
It's bad behavior. But you know what other thing I want to prune from this little post that I hate is she says, I texted him that night saying, what are you doing? I effing hate when people do that. It's the most boring text ever. It's like, you know what? Text me with something that's like compelling, or tell me what you're doing. The what are you doing text, I hate. Or even just out of nowhere, the how are you? Or how's your day? Like, no, it's lazy. How about you put some creativity into your text and tell me what you're doing instead of just saying, what are you doing? And it probably is even worse that it was like a few hours after they had just hung out. What are you doing? That's not a good look. So this,
it's like you're tracking them down, yes, detective.
Yes. So there's some blood on her hands. She might have botched this a little bit, but I think he is ultimately he's the bad guy for doing a hard ghost after 3 months. That's effed up.
Let me ask you a question about texting, right? Since you are the text-pert here. Do people put like text bait out where they throw a line and see if you grab it? Like, I have a friend that texts me and he'll just write, "Hi, Damona." And I'm like, state your business. And then if I'm like, hi, and I respond, then he'll say what he was texting about. But he won't just come out and say what he's texting about. And he does this like repeatedly. And so I've stopped just replying because I'm like, don't just say hi or hi, Damona. Like, what am I, just hi? I ain't got time for hi.
I mean, okay. At the end of the day, though, we interact that way in person. I don't walk up to you and say, did you get that thing done? I go, hi, Damona. How are you? So I don't think it's the worst thing to do that. And in fact, the number one best possible opening text on a dating app to somebody is simply either, hi, Damona, just leave it, or just, Damona, ! And you could disagree, but the stats show that that's exactly what works the best.
No. I disagree. I like the Damona ! But this is when we're not in a chain or anything. This is just out of the blue, haven't talked to you in 3 months. Hi, Damona. Hi. What do you want?
It's a little bit sociopathish, but who is this guy? Is he like trying to holler at you or trying to do business?
No, this is like, yeah, former business associate.
Okay, it's a little weird. I mean, the hi text, if it's late night, it's actually not a bad way to start a booty call. You just kind of, throwing a fishing line.
Nobody's starting a booty call with me, obviously.
Okay, I agree.
That is a booty call to nowhere.
That actually might not be, the hi is like, is just, hey, anybody there? Hey, is there anybody awake over there? It's kind of like a quick check. I don't hate it.
I perceive it as a waste of my time.
But does he bring anything to the table?
That's the whole point. What are you bringing to the table?
Well, what is he, after you said, hi, Johnny?
Usually it's like, can you do this thing for me? Okay. So just lead with, can you do this thing for me? Okay.
Isn't it weirder if it's been like a few months? He's just like, I would like you to do this.
I'm not
for
interested
me.
In hi, Damona. That is of no interest to me. I like lead with something like, oh, I saw this thing. It made me think of you. Or like, oh, how them bears? Like, whatever. Just, hi. It seems like totally impersonal. I don't text my girlfriends like that. Hi. Hi, Mindy.
I think, yes. What's and that up, scenario Holly? Is bad. In dating, especially when you're like trying to like grab onto a girl or a guy that you used to holler at, or it's a booty call. I don't hate it.
All right. Well, we've cleared that up.
All right. Moving on. First off, hi, Damona.
just state your business, okay? I ain't got time for all this.
Okay. Can you read this next question for me?
Okay.
I need you to read this next question for me.
Okay. All right. So this is the male 20?
But I said hi first, so you should.
Oh, no. Don't ask me. Oh, I get it now. No, you read it. That's your job.
Can you help a brother out?
It's a male question, too. Look, I help people all the time. Just straight up tell me.
See, the problem is I said hi first. That's probably what botched it. All right. from a guy, he's 20 years old, and he says, girlfriend needed a break to find herself, quote unquote. I say that's okay if she needs it. A few weeks later, she says she'd like to get back. I say I need time because I'm not a rental. You can't just choose when and where you want me. I meet a new girl who really likes me, and I like her. Before anything gets serious, I ask X to get back with me, and then she says she needs more time. Now I'm falling for this new girl, and X is talking about getting back in a month or two. We were together for 4 years. What to do?
I don't know why I kind of like this guy.
He's so succinct and to the point. This is the good thing about men. We are just like right to it.
But how about them games he be playing, huh?
But he just told a full story in like small little paragraph.
Yeah.
To the point.
But how about those games? I mean, if you want to be together, be together. If you don't want to be together, don't be together. But don't say, I need more time, and then not really want more time. Or don't be dating another girl and then ask her to get back with you because what, were you just trying to make her jealous anyway? Like, if you like this new girl, just date this new girl and forget about the ex. It doesn't matter. This is, he's like sounding like a girl right now. This is what I was saying about women feeling like they did time in a relationship. And so that means something. You didn't waste your time. You learned something over the 4 years. But just because you were with her for 4 years doesn't mean that's the right relationship for you. And if it's not working out, and if you guys are compelled to play these games with each other, you're just losing. You're basically hemorrhaging emotional energy right now. Picture that, Ray.
From what, in what direction? I've never heard that phrasing. You know what? I appreciate where you're coming from, but I don't hate this guy. I
started out saying I liked him.
I don't? Okay. But I don't like when people do the bluff. Like, if I ever date a girl and she bluffs I can't do this anymore, I want a break, I'm like, I'm done. We're done then.
He's doing the bluff, though, too.
But she was like, I need a break. And he says, and then she came back, and then he's like, all right, well, now you can wait, because I'm not sure. I don't hate that move.
Wait.
It's a little bit childish.
That's a double bluff, then. That's a double bluff.
But maybe she should be punished a little bit for pulling away. Why can't he pull away? Maybe not punish is the word, but if she can pull away, why can't he?
Why are you assuming it was a bluff break? Maybe she really needed a break and to get some perspective on the relationship. And then, I mean, he's 20. They started dating when she was 16, and he was 16. I'm assuming they're about the same age. So maybe she didn't know if this was the right person because this was like the only person she'd been with. And maybe she wanted to go and sow her wild oats a little bit. And then she came back and was like, you know what, actually, he's great, and I want to be with him.
But she botched it because he found a new girl, and that's it's a risk she took, and now she made that bed, and now she has to sleep in it. But I think one thing I would suggest, actually, I'll make an assumptive guess that he is not exclusive with his new girl, and so he's got this new girl. He's like kind of dating casually. What I would do if I was him, what I'd recommend is go on a couple dates with both. Not together, but like, hang out. or that, I guess.
Can you guys just come hang out? Come hang out.
Like, just get one over.
I don't know why.
By the way,
so
Becky's coming over. I hope you don't mind. That's probably not a wise endeavor. But
if you can get it going, I mean, why not?
What I would say is, in a given week or two, go out with both of them separately. And then see which one tickles your fancy. Which one revs your engine. And the hangouts back to back or within a few days, that will tell you, you'll feel which one you're more drawn to, and then go for that one.
I agree with you on that. Actually, when I started dating my husband, who was not my husband at the time we started dating, I was dating another guy, and it was kind of the same thing. I was doing like a little A-B split testing. And so I'd started dating this other guy before him, right? I started dating this other guy before him, but then I met him and I was like, oh, wait, hold on. And so then he went out of town for a little bit, and then I continued dating the other guy. But then once I had dated them back to back, then when he came back in town, I was like, oh, like, forget this other guy. Like, that's not even a thing. But sometimes you need to, like you said, see it apples to apples.
Mm-hmm. Not mm-hmm. the worst thing. Mm-hmm. As long as you're not exclusive with either.
Right.
So we have another question from a young lady. She's 22. She says, how to become more independent? I feel like I'm addicted to my phone and I don't know how to get detached. I've tried turning it off, sleep mode, and I keep clicking it to see if anyone else has texted me. It's horrible and I don't know what to do.
I think she should do Appless April, shouldn't she?
Well, but it sounds like she's doing more than just apps. She's messaging and texting.
I know, but
and
it's
snapping.
Like, this is like what Michelle Toglia from Bustle was just talking about. We get addicted to that. Well, the reality is, you do get a release of of endorphins when you see that little message pop up.
Yeah.
She wants to see if anyone's texted her. So she's getting that sense of being in a relationship and being and flirting with people from being on these dating apps and from being that attached to her phone, because that's her connection to the outside world. So what I would say is, if you're feeling that addicted, that means you ain't doing enough in your regular life and you need to get offline and make more connections face to face. Because the reason that we're so addicted to these phones is because this is the way that we are connecting to other people. We are so hungry for human connection that we turn to this device for everything. And if you just look up from your phone, there are humans, real live humans, all around you. Look, there's humans here right now. Hello, I see you. Hi, Ray.
What do you want?
State your business, Damona.
I ain't got time for this. I agree with all that. And I think there's no way you can go cold turkey on a phone. Like, yes, it's physically possible, but realistically, are you going to go fully phoneless? No. You're going to be stuck on the phones and for GPS and all these other reasons. But there is a nice little way around it. And I do this at work every day. I take given little blocks of my schedule. If I want to have a particular task worked on, and I will turn off my phone, I turn off the buzzing on my computer, everything goes off, and I put my timer on for an hour or 2 hours or longer. And
your phone timer?
Phone timer. Yeah. And I'll turn the phone over, and then it starts buzzing when it's time.
Sure.
But that timer actually helps me, because I know I'm not like going to drift off in some abyss, which obviously wouldn't happen. But that phone timer helps kind of make it like this finite experience that I know will end. But I turn off my phone. So for her, I would say, you know what? Turn off your phone. Put a block in your calendar even. And these hours from 2 to 5 or from 8 to 10 or whatever it is, you will not do anything on your digital life for those hours. Start there.
I will say I do every year a digital detox. I do the National Day of Unplugging. And I've done it, I think, now 3 years. And the first year, it was so hard. And every year I've done it since. And this year, it was like a breeze. And I realized I actually do kind of unplug on the weekends. Evenings and weekends, like, that's time I'm with my family. And I really don't connect with my phone during those times. And so you might just need to do a little digital detox, and you will be surprised at how long you can live without your phone if you set your mind to it.
I'm surprised at how long you can survive without food. I think I told you. I just did a 3-day fast with no food.
You're amazing.
I hadn't eaten since Sunday.
Not and even juicing, nothing?
Just water. What? And it wasn't as hard as I thought, actually. And I think the same thing applies to your phones. We think we're super addicted, but just decide to do it, stick to the plan, and go with it. It ends up not being that hard.
There you go. Let's do all one right. more.
So she's 29. She's a young lady. She says, met a guy online and things are great and intense when we see each other. But in between dates, the communication sucks. I feel like I put him on the back burner. I feel like I'm put on the back burner, excuse me. He goes hours without replying or just suddenly stops, even though he's the one who texts first. I've talked to him about it, but he claims he's busy at work. But when I check his Instagram, he's posting pictures that show otherwise. Anyway, I saw this advice online. Should I follow it? I don't think we should read the advice. I think we should just get the advice given right here.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think?
So she met the guy online. They were intense, but the communication sucks. So look, if you feel like you're being put on the back burner, you're probably being put on the back burner. And we were just talking about Instagram stalking. So not stalking, obviously not stalking, but you see him on Instagram doing other things. If that isn't the clearest sign that he's just not that into you, I don't know what is. And I'm sorry.
I want to be like, you know what? If you have fun in person, then just hang your hat on that. But I'm with you. When I'm into someone, like I'm into my girlfriend, like I wanna chat with her every day. And like even from the beginning, it was like that. So if he's not that into that and he's posting on Instagram, he gots to go.
Yeah, I agree. Especially the Instagram thing is really the kicker for me. It's that he's saying one thing and doing another. And you know what they say? Actions speak louder than words. Mm. So follow his actions and that'll tell you where he's headed. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you enjoyed this extra special episode with Michelle Toglia from Bustle.com. Go ahead and check out Appless April. Leave your own story and comments on some of the articles and maybe tweet them at Bustle. Let them know how Appless April is going for you. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you have a question you want to see on a future show, go ahead and tweet me at Damona Hoffman, or you can post your question right there on the TechSpert app. If you don't have it yet, go to your Apple Store, download it. Not the actual Apple Store, the App Store. Download TechSpert for free and you can post your questions and get crowdsourced advice right there. Plus, go to DamonaHoffman.com if you want some dating advice to help you in between episodes. We're going to see you next week. And until then, happy dating.